Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Luke chapter 8. Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. This is the text. How easy it seems to walk through the mall or drive down the street or go to dinner with your friends and look around and have a pretty good idea who is and who definitely is not going to be joining us in the heavenly realm. We think it's easy to figure that out, especially when the outward appearance makes it so obvious. Perhaps it's the way someone is dressed. But then last week, we heard about the faith of the sinful woman who had been called to repentance, the prostitute, that notorious woman who heard Jesus' words and then washed his feet with her tears, for she had received faith that saved her. Simon the Pharisee, at whose house this took place, he looked like someone who should be worthy of a place in heaven. I'm sure Simon and most of his guests thought so. But he was appalled that Jesus would allow this woman to even touch him. And he doubted that Jesus could even be a prophet. I mean, it doesn't take a prophet to know what kind of woman she is. Everybody knows who she is. Well, perhaps it's the way in which someone uses words that helps us to separate the sheep from the goats. Jesus says, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And it is true that we are to produce good words. This doesn't mean just avoiding the bad words that seem to get thrown around in the vain attempt to gain attention for what you have to say. Just as an aside, and you know this is a huge pet peeve of mine, if your words aren't worthy of attention, throwing in profanity isn't going to help. It's not going to make your words more meaningful. As the old proverb says, vulgarity is the fool's attempt to appear wise. We are to produce good words. And when you read the previous verses in Luke chapter 8, Jesus tells the parable of the sower. And we know this one all too well. Some seed falls on the path, some on the rocks, some in the weeds, some on good soil. The seed is the word of God. The word of God is sown on the good soil and produces 30, 50, 100 fold. What does seed produce? Seed produces more seed. A kernel of corn planted in the ground produces more kernels of corn. A piece of wheat planted in the ground produces more wheat. The Word of God is a seed that causes the Word of God to spring forth in you. And from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. But even with the greatest of words, or with the worst of words, coming from someone's mouth, it is still not my job, nor is it your job, to separate the sheep from the goats. That is our Lord's job alone. My job and your job is to plant the seed. that the Word of God may do its work. Which brings us to the Gentile region of the Gerasenes. Jesus and the disciples step off the boat and are met by the last guy that anybody wants to run into. He ran around naked. He lived outside of the city and hung out in the caves where they buried the dead. We learn here and also in Mark's gospel that the local people numerous times had tried to bind him up with chains and shackles, but he just broke them. He is possessed by demons and he is strong and dangerous. This is the last guy anyone would think has a place in the kingdom of God. And when Jesus met him, he did not have a place in the kingdom of God. He was possessed, controlled by demons. Jesus immediately commands the unclean spirits to come out of him. And the demons offer kind of an interesting assessment of the situation. They acknowledge Jesus as the Son of the Most High God and beg Jesus not to torment them and cast them into the abyss of hell. The demons know who Jesus is, and they know what is going to happen to them. You have to remember that hell is Satan's prison. Hell is not Satan's kingdom. The demons know that they are already judged, they are condemned, and they will be cast into the abyss of hell for all eternity, but they are loose in the world for a short while. So the demons ask, "Please do not torment us. Would you allow us to go into this herd of pigs?" Notice that they have to get permission. No matter how chaotic the world may seem, remember that Satan is not in control. God is in control, even though the world seems out of control. And the pigs run down the hill into the water and are drowned. And the local people freak out and they ask Jesus to leave. Except for the man from whom the demons had departed, he begs to go with Jesus. And Jesus gives him a simple command: return your home and declare how much God has done for you. From the overflow of the heart, let your mouth speak. The seed of the word will produce more seed. And this man who was a curse to that town will now be a blessing from God, as he is able to share the good news that is found in Jesus Christ. This man who was despised and dangerous is now filled with faith, and he cannot hold in the words. Jesus told him, "Go and declare how much God has done for you." And he went into the city, and Luke says he told everyone how much Jesus had done for him. Because Jesus is God. And this once despised and dangerous man has been completely changed. He has faith. The change in you that took place at your baptism was no less dramatic. Never forget that. God has enacted a miracle in your life, bringing you to where you are now, just as he did for this man. And it's just like with the sinful woman at Simon's house, who responded to Jesus' words, and in her sorrow for her sin, she could not hold in the tears. And Jesus says to her, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Now, in between these two events, Jesus does tell the parable of the sower, and the disciples and Jesus take a boat ride. The crazy, demon-possessed naked man wasn't the first scary sight for the disciples that day. On the boat ride, a fierce storm erupted, and Jesus is in the back of the boat sleeping. We all know the story. The disciples freak out, wake him up and say, "Master, we're going to die." Jesus says to them, after he calms the storm, "Where is your faith?" The sinful woman, she has faith. "Your faith has saved you," he says. Saving faith was found in that notorious woman. The disciples, Jesus says to them, "Where is your faith?" And the disciples, after Jesus has calmed the storm and asks them, "Where is your faith?" they ask, "Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?" Jesus is God. And even the crazy naked man who they're going to meet when they get on shore is going to know this once the seed of the gospel is planted in his heart and he is filled with the abundance that that seed produces. And we see the result of the seed that has been planted. We see it here. We see it in our words. We see it in the abundance of the Word of God that is proclaimed in our midst. The joy of the gospel that is received by the people of God. And regardless of your background, regardless of your past history, whatever sinful baggage you might think that you have to keep carrying around, hear the words of Christ. As he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Go and declare how much God has done for you," Jesus says to the man. And he also says that to you. Go and declare how much God has done for you. From the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.